A brilliant new era in the life of Our Lady the Angels province of our Franciscan Friars Conventual dawned when we began the tradition of combining into one grand celebration the simple profession of our novices' vows with the recommitment of our friar jubilarians on their anniversaries of profession or ordination. Hence today, our brothers Antonio, Ra'ad, and Joseph will make their first profession in a context where they are encompassed by our 2019 jubilarian confreres, whose accumulated total of years in vows numbers 755, along with brothers who've lived the holy priesthood for an accumulated total of 580 years. So you've got a long way to go, lads. This year, 2019, is a most auspicious one for your profession of vows, Antonio, Ra'ad, and Joe, because our Franciscan order is commemorating in 2019 the 800th anniversary of an historical event which ranks among the most important in the history of the Church, the meeting in Damietta, Egypt, of which our seraphic father, St. Francis of Assisi, met with Malik al-Kamil, the Sultan of Cairo and General of the Star and Crescent Army at the time of the Crusades. And during our recent General Chapter meeting in Assisi, where I was privileged to participate along with some of the other friars present in chapel this morning, the capitular friars actually participated in the inauguration of a special exhibition that depicted the encounter of Francis and the Sultan 800 years ago. And a centerpiece of that exhibition was the ivory horn of safe passage given by the Sultan to Francis and preserved at our Sacro Convento in Assisi ever since. The horn, which in medieval times was a symbol of strength and power and truth, became, once the Sultan gave it to Francis, a new sign of unity, peace, and fraternal dialogue. And at the commemorative ceremonies in Assisi, the guests of honor were two Muslim imams, one from Perugia and one from Milan. And I had the opportunity to speak privately with the imam from Milan, who is regarded, by the way, as Italy's leading scholar about medieval Islam. And he explained to me that Malik al-Kamil actually stood out in the 13th century as one of its most brilliant writers, strategic leaders, and most importantly, a deeply contemplative Sufi Muslim. Malik al-Kamil identified, according to the imam with whom I had this wonderful conversation, Malik al-Kamil identified two qualities in Francis of Assisi which resonated with his own deeply spiritual nature and left an indelible impression upon Malik. The two qualities, namely, of Francis were Francis's commitment to truth and Francis's humility. According to the latest Islamic research, it's nearly certain that Malik al-Kamil, the Sufi contemplative, would have prayed with Francis the 99 names of God derived from the Quran. And the influence of those Islamic titles is evidenced in the later composition by St. Francis that we still preserve in Assisi in his own handwriting as the Praises of God. In Francis's own handwriting, we read and we hear echoed from the Quran, God is good, supreme good, all good. And so, dear brothers, as you profess your vows in the 800-year tradition of Francis of Assisi, take to heart those words shared by Francis and the Sultan. God is good, all good, supreme good. Make those words the mantra of your Franciscan lives. Ground your proclamation of God's goodness in those qualities which Malik al-Kamil found so compelling about his friend Francis, truth and humility. Be friars like Francis, be men like Malik al-Kamil, who witness the goodness of God by your commitment to God's truth and your imitation of God's humility. Remember that God was so humble, he didn't cling to his Godhead, but emptied himself to become human, one of us. Passion for truth without humility becomes fanaticism. Humility without truth becomes meaningless. When taken together, however, as Francis practiced them, as Malik al-Kamil practiced them, when taken together, truth and humility allow the goodness of God to radiate. And that's our prayer for you today, Antonio, Ra'ad, and Joe, is that in your passion for truth, your imitation of humility, together you can all radiate the goodness of God. Today's readings actually offer us a roadmap for itinerant friars like ourselves who want our vowed lives to radiate God's goodness by enfleshing Francis's humility and his passion for truth. In our first reading, the Genesis journey of Abraham entailed his leaving behind everything comfortable and secure. His newfound itinerancy bespoke a humble conviction that the voice of God was the voice of truth, and that God's plan, when humbly embraced by Abraham, was a plan for good. And so you, dear brothers, like Abraham and like Francis, have embarked on a journey in the same humble conviction that God is leading you on the path of truth. Like Abraham, you've left behind the securities and conveniences of your lives. You've already journeyed long and hard from Iraq through Canada to distant California and back here to Maryland, from Cameroon to United States, from Baltimore, all the way to California and back to Baltimore. Like Abraham and like Francis, your lives are itinerant journeys in the truth, embraced humbly for the sake of radiating the reality that God is good. The great hymn of destiny from St. Paul's letter to the Ephesians that Gregory proclaimed today, our second reading, reinforces this understanding of God's plan for each of you personally, for each of us personally, and for all of us communally. God has destined each of you novices to be professed. It's his call. You're saying yes. You didn't initiate it. God initiates. You respond. He's destined all of our jubilarians who are here as well. He's destined all the rest of us here. For what? For his holy purposes. Let me quote. He chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world to be holy and without blemish. He chose us in Christ. He's made known to us the mystery of his will. In him we were chosen, destined according to his intentions. St. Paul understood all this and it's still as valid for us 2,000 years later as it was when Paul wrote to the Ephesians. In him we have heard the word of truth, and we're sealed with his promise. You, dear brothers, have heard the word of truth, and in a special way, your vows today are a sealing by God of you in his promise. Malik al-Kamil helped Francis to understand that God's supernatural plan for our order was to be a leaven of peace and unity in a world of chaos, division, violence, and misunderstanding. Malik al-Kamil helped Francis to understand that God's plan for our order was that we be a leaven of God's goodness, radiating through the synergy of truth and humility in our Franciscan lives. And today's gospel adumbrates that synergy as Jesus offers his high priestly prayer to the Father at the Last Supper. Jesus is praying for you and for me, for all of us, for all those whom our consecrated lives will touch. I pray not only for them, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, so that they all may be one, as you, Father, are in me and I in you. Jesus wants our soon-to-be professed, our jubilarians, all the friars present here, and all the rest of us. He wants all of us to be dedicated in our lives to making all things one. That was his great prayer at the Last Supper before he died. We have to work to make all things one. Is that not what Francis and Malik al-Kamil strove to achieve? Is not human unity, human community, human communion the fullest expression in this world of the reality that God is good? In a few moments, when our three novices kneel to profess their vows and be novices no more, but friars in profession, they will one by one fold their hands upon the Holy Scriptures. I wanted to bring from Assisi, actually, that ivory horn that Malik al-Kamil had given Francis so that I could have our three novices embrace and hold the horn, but I'd have got in trouble if I tried to. So I brought something even more precious for them today upon which to place their hands. This New Testament is written in the Syriac language, the language of the Christians in the persecuted land of Iraq from which Ra'ad has come. 3 years ago, I buried a dear friend who was a Navy SEAL who died in Iraq trying to help the Christians be freed from the grasp of ISIL. And 6 months after I buried Charlie, his brother, also a Navy SEAL, Billy, was deployed to Iraq. And he and his regiment went into the now destroyed Christian village of Bartella, which had been a thriving Christian community, now in ashes. And they went into one of the burned and ruined Catholic Chaldean churches of Iraq. And amidst all the ash, Billy found this New Testament. And he removed it. It was still intact. And when he brought it and gave it to me, I could still smell the smoke from the church in which those Christians had died as a humble witness to the truth and never forsaking their belief in the goodness of God. So the three novices will profess their vows today with their hands folded on this Syriac New Testament from the ruins of the church in Bartella, Iraq, near Mosul. There's something to be learned from this, and that is that we belong to one human community. God created all of us to be one community, whether Iraq, Cameroon, Canada, Baltimore. We're one human community, and it is the message of Francis of Assisi that God is good, which binds us together in a unity that embraces our three young men today as you profess your vows for the glory of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.